Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Brian Lee. He has a background doing investment work and strategy work and all kinds of executive business development. And today, he is co-founder and CEO of Ruli AI. That's R-U-L-I. Ruli AI, reimagining legal work with AI. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Thomas. Happy to be here and excited to talk to you and your listeners.
Yeah, likewise. This will be really great stuff. So legal work, we all know what legal work is, but let's take some time to appreciate the problems that people run into in legal work that you've become passionate about fixing.
Yeah, and maybe this is a lot related to like my background of how I got there. So maybe I can start there. And I think—
Excellent.
Because I've had this experience of a very interesting career and seeing this problem 360 almost with different perspectives. I started my career as a big law lawyer that's like working at these like big corporate law firms and securities law. And then I moved in-house to work at GE, like to do commercial counsel work, which is really like supporting sales teams and a lot of sales deals. But my undergrad was in computer engineering. So I ended up sort of seeing some of the frustrations of just legal work and like the routine sort of papering and review. And I wanted to get back into like kind of my roots of technology. And I ended up pivoting and joining Google 10 years ago to work on the first Google Assistant, which was really cool. It was a top secret project at the time. And then I joined Google without actually, they couldn't tell me what I was working on, which was actually super cool. And it turned out to be the Google Assistant as we were going against Amazon Alexa at the time. And it was like the AI war, the first AI wars, right? But now we have a new AI war with ChatGPT and Google and others and Gemini. But I was part of that first iteration. And then I pivoted to more product management roles, a lot of it in trust and safety and privacy, because there's a growing area around regulatory work and trust and safety on these platforms. That was the perfect beacon of work for both my backgrounds in computer engineering and also law. And then I worked on early LLM models as well before ChatGPT, and we were using Google for different things. And we were using for YouTube cataloging and all sorts of interesting things like that. And then I moved to Meta to work on augmented reality glasses, again, developing privacy features there. So I've always been on this forefront of technology. And in that experience, when I moved from the legal side to the product side and the business side, I realized there was like a growing body of work that wasn't just like your standard sort of contracts, right? Lawyers were like advising a lot on, okay, like how do we're going to open a new market. How do we like now deal with other geopolitical issues? Now there's like tariff issues, you know, executive orders or changes. Like basically there's like all this stuff that's like, the law didn't really change that much in the past. And now there's, okay, it's actually really evolving very quickly. There's unfortunately lots of layoffs, creating like labor issues and other things like that. And so lawyers are basically like advising every part of the company, which is where we focus on, whereas historically they've been just like doing more volumes or contract work and just doing more kind of other registry work to keep the company compliant. But now it's like their in-house lawyers are far more proactive in helping out with like early product development or their IP issues. They have to review marketing compliance before tweets go out or things like that. And so that's really the inspiration of why we built Ruli AI, to capture this growing everything else problem.
Yeah, so it's super interesting, Brian, because it sounds like there's, of course, the innate value that already would have been there. And there's been the compliance stuff over the past, maybe I don't know how you'd count it, 15, 20 years with just internet stuff. There's all kinds of just compliance things. But then it's a lot of this stuff sounds especially relevant, just given the turbulent times, domestic political stuff, geopolitical stuff. And whenever you have just things changing all the time, it's hard for business people to keep track of it. And therefore, there's a need to have, does someone out there know what the legal situation is with this? Can they help me navigate it?
Yes.
Do you have that right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like a lot of what our clients tell us that they use our product for, which are products, this legal intelligence platform. We uniquely have like legal research capabilities, like a ChatGPT for lawyers, but also contract intelligence, where you can look into all your contracts and figure out what's going on. Do tariffs impact me or not on all these, all my relationships and my contracts and whatnot? And then we also have like redlining assistance, almost like someone doing that first pass of an agreement for you to see if it's compliant with your standards. And what's unique about us is we can integrate with a company's like playbooks, their standards, their basically we create a digital brain of all their policies and their information. So you have a lawyer that thinks like how you do in your company, which is different from law firms that they might hire as well, because law firms are more about the black letter law rather than the strategy that's adapted for that company. And so when our customers with that background, customers would say, we just get a ton of questions from the business about, okay, how do I navigate this? Or what do I do with XYZ? And they'll put that in our tool and use it as a thought partner. And they can get those answers, but also get it contextual, because it'll be like, this is what the latest executive order or whatever the EU regulations are saying. Also, this is what your company is currently doing. And they can get that in one tool. And then if they want to go and review new contracts or redline them, we can update that playbook in our software that then is based on their new strategy now. So it's this great loop. Whereas before, they might have to ask that question to an outside counsel at a law firm, and then there would be like a $10,000 bill. And then they ask a follow-up question, and it becomes like a $20,000 bill. So there's a lot of not only efficiencies, but new ways of giving almost like expertise to in-house legal departments, which before was quite challenging to do because they weren't experts in a lot of areas.
Here's a question I always ask of every sort of or a lot of generative AI companies, and that is, why should someone use your product above and beyond ChatGPT or Gemini? And I think this is important to, so not just for you guys as a company, but then also entrepreneurs listening, how do I differentiate in this world where these generalized AI LLMs claim to do and they present themselves as things that can do everything?
Yeah, and that's a really good question, because I think originally we did not want to build a ChatGPT for lawyers like experience, because we thought that it wouldn't be defensible just from wearing your product hat. It's okay, eventually the OpenAIs and Gemini's is just gonna dominate the chatbot sort of space, right? And then what was interesting is originally we were building more of an agentic platform. And we would pair it with the knowledge base of your company, like that digital brain, but to be more autonomous. But I think what's important here for your listeners and any sort of PMs or aspiring founders is like you have to really listen to your customers. So when we initially went to market last year, the initial sort of pilot work, people were like, we love this concept of tailoring it to my company's policy, my company knowledge, having that digital legal brain, right? But I don't want to lose the control because I don't want semi-autonomous agents. So I actually, can you build for us literally a ChatGPT for lawyers and put me in the pilot seat, basically? And so you have to listen to your customers and where they are. And actually, a lot of where we meet our customers is they start with Microsoft Copilot or ChatGPT Enterprise at their company, and they've used it for 3 months or 6 months, and they're like, okay, we get the hang of this. But now we've hit limitations because, and it could be like what we've observed, lawyers don't like prompting. They don't want to write prompts. They don't want to write the same prompts over. We help them do that. So it's like our software is tailored to almost like if you wrote something not perfect, we can auto-complete it in something like what a lawyer would write. Or our responses are tailored to how like you would get like a outside memo from your law firm. It doesn't, the way that we curate our sources to the web, we would emphasize like AM Law 250, like the top 250 law firms of the world, Harvard Law, Cornell Law, like Yale Law. We don't prioritize Reddit. So when you're using ChatGPT, like you're getting Reddit, Instagram, they're trying to build a Shopify connection. So you're buying products. But, and that's what's adding to the hallucination and frustration when lawyers are using, you know, consumer products, because consumer products are designed for you to help you buy stuff, book restaurants, and like, that sort of thing. So that's where the frustration comes in. So actually, it's if you know your niche and what they want, you can still build a very verticalized tool. At the same time, I think you have to add additional value, which is why our assistant also lives inside Microsoft Word, where all the lawyers live. And then it automatically redlines agreements inside Word. If you're using ChatGPT, it actually can't redline a DocX agreement. You can only do that inside a Microsoft Word integration. So it's really about being where your customers are. And we're going to expand to the Microsoft Outlook email experience soon as well. And again, it's like lawyers live in email, live in like Microsoft Word, and they want their legal companion on the side. And so it's really just understanding where your customers are. And what they want. So I think it's really getting super deep into the tactical, what makes them successful.
That's excellent. So you're saying that, so when you start using Ruli, you set up a subscription and you say, okay, I'm going to create my sort of own legal space, and I'm going to get the integrations to integrate it with Microsoft Word that I use, or maybe Google Docs, or maybe that one integration comes later. And I essentially can have a place where I can have the AI thought and writing partner, and I can keep track of all of my stuff.
So basically, really subscription, you have like our own web version of the ChatGPT for lawyers. It's also built into Microsoft Word, one-click integrations in there. And then you can one-click add in like your Google Drive or your SharePoint with your legal information that you have at the company. And that's like your digital brain. And then there's all this context that gets automatically, it's already built in from our system. And people love buttons, so tailored buttons, so to speak. And so we have like buttons in there. That's a one click review. We ship with our own standard prompts that's been designed and written by lawyers. So, what you put in there is already pretty great. So people don't have to write their own prompts. People just want to immediately sit in a finely tuned product for their purposes, really. Because I think with just ChatGPT, it is more of a blank canvas designed for almost like every use case, primarily consumer use cases. So it's not as tailored. But if I'm doing the same thing every day where I go in and I need to review this NDA against my standard NDA, well, we just built a button around that and you have a prompt and you can attach your standard NDA. So every day you click a button, right? You get a very repeatable process, which is what lawyers like, but also something that you can share with your colleagues. So we have the ability for you to share your prompts with, and that's what a lot of customers love, is the ability to basically pool your AI learning knowledge. Because we found that there are users that, like on any team, I think of any product, not even legal products, there's like an AI evangelist that is just far further ahead than everyone else on the team. And there's an opposite spectrum of, call it an AI naysayer on that team as well. And usually you want the AI evangelist and empower them with tools where it's like, okay, you can build prompts and then other people on the team can just one click button use them. And you're providing a platform to pool their AI knowledge and get better and better.
How do you get started with it? Do you train it on your stuff, or do you go through a form and say, this is where I practice law and things like that? Do you set it up and personalize it for your business, or does it?
So it's really simple. We don't train on your data. So I want to make that clear. We give you more of this contextual sandbox where you can pair your legal knowledge with our tool, but lawyers are, with confidentiality, it's very sensitive data. So we don't train a model per se. What you do is literally you load it up. There's a company profile page. You put in the website of your company. And then it automatically builds a profile based on the sector relevant regulations to your company. And then you can fine tune that. Or if you want to, then you can set your risk tolerance. Do I have a high risk tolerance or a low risk tolerance, or you want to keep it in standard? So there's things there where you're like, we already give you the controls, almost like the dials and knobs. So you're like, this is like my risk spectrum for all the analysis, everything I should keep track of, and how it should behave and how it should analyze and talk to me. And then you can then additionally pair whatever archive of information to give it that digital brain at your company, and then it would understand that as well.
Nice. And what does the competitive space look like for you? Are there folks trying to do this stuff?
It's
I
a,
imagine so.
it is incredibly, yeah, it's it, as you can see, I think an investor of ours described it as just like an AI gold rush in legal like they've never seen before, because historically legal tech has been a niche area, and now people have seen it as the spearhead of AI, and there are competitors coming up all the time. we're going up against other heavy legacy players who like are doing acquisitions and of AI tools building their own. We have other larger players who've raised hundreds of millions of dollars, and we're further ahead than earlier players, but we haven't raised hundreds of millions of dollars. We've raised $8 million, which is great. $8 million in
Nice.
over 15 months. You know, what's exciting though, we do have people who love our approach. Like we recently brought onto as an advisor, the former Pinterest general counsel. So we're bringing on these heavyweights from like Fortune 500 companies who really see the vision of what we're building. And I think that's great advice for anyone building companies, is to bring on that right, th those right advisors at the right time to help you see around corners, but also to give you that product sense that maybe you don't have for your ICP.
And so I'd like to speculate on why it's become such an exploding area.
Yeah.
I'll just throw this out there.
Yeah,
And
love
so
it.
one of the things I think about when you're running a business, there's different experts and people that you need to hire to deal with different types of pain. The pain coming from the legal side of things is I don't know how to write like a lawyer and I don't know how to think like a lawyer. And even the term legalese means a block of text that I probably don't understand, that might be even scary. One of the common uses of law is mailing the scary legal letter
Right.
and things like that. And so much of it is opaque knowledge about how to
Yeah.
write and word things. It's almost like a magician's spell, and
It
you use the
is.
right words
I love that analogy.
and
It is a little bit like a magician's spell, because the way that legal work is that when you use the right words, they almost invoke bodies of law. So that's why it's like a spell. And so if you don't use the right combination of words, then it's not really that legalese that has any impact. And so that's it. That goes into contracts, how you write cease and desist letters. But what's interesting there is like lawyers are understand too, especially in-house lawyers and companies. So like we had a feature that was requested, which we built, which is a business memo button. So after they get this 20-page analysis from us, they can just hit this button that says business memo, and it turns it into a little email memo that explains it to a like a non-lawyer, and it says this is what's most important to you for to help us run the business. And so there's things like that that like our customers love, and they gave us the idea because they're like, oh, we'd always fault prompt and have to ask, can you guys just make that a feature? So we designed a feature around that, and people use it all the time because they understand too. And then they copy that to email, send to their CEO or their CFO or their like business leader and say, oh, okay, this is the answer to your question. But they've done the analysis first, right? They've done the legal analysis with our tool, and then they're like, okay, great, let's convert that into a business memo. And so you've identified exactly that. When lawyers talk to each other or to the courts or need to send these like nasty letters or whatnot, you have to speak in this foreign language or what's going on in contracts. But really, and then there's this like communication layer that they're using our products for to communicate practically to their stakeholders. But at the same time, though, as someone who's done the legal side and the business, I'd tell anyone on the team, like anyone listening with ChatGPT and whatnot, don't be scared to like ask questions about contracts. It can do that sort of, if you're doing like your own sort of work, whereas real estate and stuff like that, you can get pretty great. If you're asking the right questions and things like that, you can get pretty good responses, but understand at a top level what sort of the risks are or the gist of a contract. Because ultimately, contracts, I believe, are they're serve the business. They're just a memorialization of the business relationship. And so ultimately, yes, there's these kind of like they're like these supportive legal terms in there if like things go really bad, but ultimately the bulk of the contract, 80% of the terms, is just like if we have a business relationship, you need to tell me, what are you going to do and what am I going to do, who's going to pay who and on what schedule, and are you delivering services or products? That really should be like the purview of whoever's in the business. People get lost in that's a wall of text, I don't know how to write in that way. But like ultimately a contract doesn't really, like 80% of it can just be written in plain English. It is just like how what the business exchange is. Then sure, you can add in what they call boilerplates and this like more legal protections on the side in case there's lawsuits, then which court do we go to, which state governs the law, like that's the other 20%. But actually, I'd encourage like business folks not be afraid of like contracts, since 80% of it is, even if you wrote something on a paper napkin together at like a restaurant and we both signed it, that could be a contract.
Yeah, Wow.
and you see that stuff where
Yeah.
I think like I've heard these stories of high powered like hedge fund guys in New York City, a Michelin star restaurant. They'll like literally write a deal on a restaurant menu, and just like the core deal terms: you're going to do this, you're going to do this, I'm going to pay for this, and then we'll agree to work out a long form contract. But it's almost like a letter of intent: we're going into this, and we're going to explore at least this or something. And then they'll both just sign it, and that's a contract. So yeah.
Man, this is really exciting stuff. It's really the cutting edge because you could just imagine 5 years from now, 10 years from now, a lot of this stuff will be like completely normal. And this is the
Yes.
age that's creating it.
Yeah. I think there's a ton of opportunity on the consumer side of like how you build a eventually legal AI that helps just non-lawyers and consumers. I think we're at this earlier stage where you're like, okay, AI can't give legal advice on its own and dispense that. So we
Right.
still need a lawyer in the loop who's making that judgment. But you're right. In 10 years, we have AGI. Like, why wouldn't there be more of a personal AI type lawyer that helps you with your real estate, like your apartment lease, maybe wills and trusts, things like that that you're doing, or like a traffic ticket, things like
Yeah,
that? Why
it
wouldn't
seems
you
like a
have that?
no, it's just
Yes.
like a democratizing effect in there
Yeah.
too, because normally
Absolutely.
regular people don't have the same access to lawyers,
Like,
the richer folks.
yeah, absolutely. I think there is a when we get closer to that AGI, I think somebody should be building that, and I think somebody will. And I'd be excited to try that product out, like what that happens. If you're like, there's so many things happening. If you get pulled over by the police, and personally, I love what they do, definitely support the police force, but it's also people get really scared, and you have certain rights. And what are those rights? And I've always thought
Right.
about why couldn't Siri or something just tell you,
Yeah.
like, okay, hey, I've been stopped over by cops, what
Yeah.
should you do? It's,
You have been
well,
pulled
these are your
over in the
rights.
District
Yeah,
of New York. Here are
yeah,
your
yeah.
rights.
Here are your rights. This is like, what, even if they ask you for XYZ, you don't have to have them. So you don't have to allow them to search your car or whatever, unless they have reasonable cause and there are certain conditions. But like, people should know those things.
Yeah, in the same way that AI is built into other aspects of technological life and things just get more and more built into platforms, it is interesting.
Like, I get great recommendations from Amazon on exactly when my toothpaste runs out and it's you should buy your next toothpaste. Like, why don't we have that kind of precision recommendation on like your Miranda rights if you get pulled over by the cops?
Yeah, or like I
So,
have an Airbnb and this,
yes.
be careful about this, or if this isn't fixed, that could
Exactly.
be a liability.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice, good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. We've been speaking with Brian Lee at Ruli AI, and you can get to that by Ruli.ai, Ruli.ai. Brian, where can people find you?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn. You can look me up. Feel free to DM me and chat with me. I respond to all my DMs. And if you want to book a demo with us, it's just go to Ruli, Ruli.ai slash demo.
Was I saying it wrong? Is it Ru is
No,
that
it's
Lee, not
Ruli.
Ruli?
No, it's
Oh,
Ruli. It
gotcha,
is
gotcha. You
Ruli.
got that
You
right.
got it right. You got it
Awesome. Great conversation. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Thomas, and appreciate your listeners tuning in. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.